Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Good afternoon, St. Louis. DGS and KMOX. Gorgeous day out there. I say it every day, but I can't say it enough. And this isn't coming from my bosses. It's coming from my listeners who I meet. Who will say, dude, you need to pump 98.7 more. It's a game changer. It's so great. And look, I'll be honest with you. I'm always honest with you to a fault. I wasn't sure I wanted to come over to KMOX because of the AM signal. Not just that it doesn't sound like FM, but there's this thing about people my age and younger, like, oh, I'm too young for AM. That's, you know, going to the nursing home, all that kind of stuff. 98.7 completely gets rid of that. I think we should buy billboards that just say KMOX 98.7 FM. If you're listening in Potosi or something, then you're probably not going to get it. But if you're anywhere between Wentzville and Collinsville, which a lot of you are, maybe even most of you are, it sounds great. You can also listen to 102.5 HD2, which I wouldn't know how to get to, but you're probably smarter than me. And you can also stream us at the Odyssey app, or you can download the podcast, which last year, I think we had like 2.2 million or something like that. So people obviously do that. It's me and Rach and Trish today. Tony, of course, had his first day of work at the printing company. Good to have you.
Thanks for having me. You think he really woke up early and went into work?
Like, I have no idea. He may not even have a printing company. The whole thing could be
a complete
scam. Who knows? So, welcome.
Thanks. Yeah. Nice to be here, hanging out with the cool kids in the afternoon. I don't get to talk to people normally because it's usually by myself. So I'm like, talking to myself. No one responds. And then you just move on. Like, you don't know if you said something good or bad. You just keep going.
What has that been like?
It's been weird, especially from home, just because I had zero interaction with people during the day and most days. But then, as you guys know, I moved in with my parents a couple months ago, which is a whole different kind of day. But it's nice to be around people again.
I think it's so sweet that you did that.
Oh, thanks.
I really do. I think that's really rare, especially in this day and age. And I think that's really wonderful that you did that.
Well, I think that, okay, so they're in their 80s for people, most people who don't know, and they're totally fine. It's just, I think COVID really left them feeling lonely and isolated, and they're moving slower. And my dad has something called essential tremors, which is like Parkinson's, but it's not. But he has the symptoms. He has a really hard time eating and writing, so I help him with a lot of stuff. But other than that, they're great. They were just so lonely over the past year.
Yeah.
You know, nothing to do. And my other sisters with young kids were staying away because they didn't, you know, their kids were out and about and they just didn't want to take any chances. So I didn't have anything else going on. So I
and
said, well, I'll
think how hard it is for my mom, who's been alone since 2002.
Yeah.
And I've offered her everything. And she does not want to leave. I mean, my mom and dad built the home that I grew up in, that she still lives in like 1946. She's been living in the same place since 1946.
So it'd be hard to get
her get
out.
It.
Yeah.
I totally get it.
And did she go out a lot before COVID? Like, did she do things on a daily basis or?
So she'll be 94 in September. And she is, I mean, she lives by herself. She's pretty self-sufficient. I help her out, and she has some friends that help her out.
But she doesn't drive.
But she doesn't drive. She hasn't driven. I have a trouble with that one. She hasn't driven a car.
She hasn't gotten in that car
in probably 15 years, maybe more. Yeah, because when my dad got sick with Alzheimer's, we had to take the keys away from him, which anyone who's ever had someone with Alzheimer's, that's the biggie.
Yeah.
That's a big one, is when you have to go to that person and say, Mom, Dad, you're just not safe anymore. You're not safe. Other people aren't safe. We need you to stop driving. That was tough. That's a real turning point for people who have dementia or Alzheimer's. So, yeah, it's been a long time since she's been able to get anywhere on her own. And right, and now she used to love the casino. I know your mom and dad love the casino.
They love the casino. They went on their way home from getting the vaccine.
That's great.
I don't think it works like that.
Yeah.
That's great.
Maybe in 2 weeks it'd be okay, but no, that's really cute.
Yeah, my son Nick is going to take her to the casino this week or next.
Oh, good.
But at this point, she just gets really, really tired. Like, literally walking to the mailbox makes her really tired.
Yeah,
but
she's 94.
Exactly. She's upright. She's 94. She lives by herself. She does everything on her own. So God love her. Also, shout out to our buddy Chris at Chris's. I always call it Chris's Pancakes.
Chris is at the docket. Right across the street.
And Chris is our pal. Known him for years and years. Also owns Bartolino's and Chris's on Hampton or Watson, whatever it is, right there. And talked to him for a long time today. He's a big fan of the show. And he was just talking about how much he enjoyed Hancock and Kelly and just the back and forth and the fact that we present all sides to arguments. And I wanted to take that opportunity not only to thank Chris, who also bought our lunch today. Thank you, Chris. But to say that I am unapologetically a provider of all opinions and a welcomer of all voices, and if you don't like that, and I know some people don't, they just want to hear things that they agree with, there are places to hear that. You can go down to the dial at 97 where I used to be to hear the conservative side. You can go down the dial to 90.7 for NPR and hear that side. I'm the last of the Mohicans here when it comes to having a big show that gives everyone a voice, and that's what I do. It's not an accident. So if you like that, you're in the right place. If you don't, you may want to look elsewhere. And then another gentleman, older than Chris, came up to us and said, I knew that you were someone, but I didn't know. I didn't ever listen because I listened to KMOX. And he was probably in his 60s and said, I love it. I love the show.
Nice.
I love the spice. So that it was a good lunch, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And bonus fact, Chris is married to a Lebanese woman.
Perfect.
That's how
smart
I know.
Man.
Go. Full
smart
circle.
Man. Yeah. So that was really nice.
I have a shout out too, if I may.
You may.
This morning I did a podcast with my old station manager at 89.9 College Radio's Best, WLCA, at Lewis and Clark Community College. His name is Mike Lemons. And once that podcast is up, I'll tweet it out. So if any of the listeners care to check it out. But it was just really cool catching up with him. And I've spoken very positively about my time at WLCA before. It was a great time in my life. I think Lewis and Clark is an amazing school. It's a great way. If you're wanting to get a four-year education, if you do 2 years of community college, it's such a good idea. You're going to save so much money. And I can't say enough good things about their radio program. They've expanded it now to where they're offering podcasting type classes to anyone in the school, not just their broadcasting
That's
students.
Smart.
Yeah. So if you're going into the nursing program, but you want to develop that extra skill, they have this great new podcasting studio that was in one of our old production studios. It looks so great. And I just encourage everyone to check it out. If you have a kid going into college in the next year or so, I think it's a great option. So shout out to him. That was a great experience. And I'll share it on my Twitter when it's out.
Yeah, with you and Andrew, Lewis and Clark has been my pipeline for talent.
Uh-huh. I think a couple people in this building have gone there.
Cole Duggar was our intern back at MS. Yeah.
Did you do a podcast with him or did he do one with you? Like, is it your podcast?
He did one with me. So they have one. It's called The Air Check, which I thought was a pretty cute name. And he's checking in with alumni
who are in the business now. Of you?
Yeah, it was really sweet. Yeah, it was cool.
Trish, you'll love this. When I went over to speak at Lewis and Clark, and there's probably 100, 150 kids there. It was a big, big room, and it was full. It was me and Tom Turbrock. And I don't know why. I mean, I meant it, but maybe I was just in a spicy mood. And the first thing I said was, look, everyone here thinks they're going to be the next whatever. I said, the truth is, like, five of you are ever going to get a job in radio, and two of you are going to make it, and that's just the way it is.
Yeah.
And Andrew was in that room.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Andrew is in the, I'm sure, the back row.
I'm going to take your job one day.
Well, I know who one of them's going to be. But yeah, isn't that great that he ended up being my intern?
So when he came in, he said, hey, remember
one
when
of them.
You were?
Yeah, yeah. So
that is cool.
I was right. Two of them made it.
Yep.
And I got them both. So
yeah, I talked on the podcast a little bit about just how great it was for me. Even if I wouldn't have ended up in radio like I am now, it was so valuable for me to take those classes and develop those skills because of how painfully shy I was as a kid. It just forces you out of your comfort zone and it turns
amazing.
You into a much better communicator. Yeah.
Knowing your story now, it's really amazing.
Well, there's something empowering when you're shy about putting on headphones and hearing your voice through a microphone. You kind of look at yourself in a different way. And it gave me confidence that I don't know if I would have been able to find that sort of confidence in any other walk of life.
Yeah.
Whether I would have tried to be a lawyer or a nurse or anything like any of those other things that were floating around through my head. I think I got something very specific to what I needed in life from going through that. So
people roll their eyes when I say it, but you know it's true. I am pathologically shy. And you put me in front of 10,000 people like I've been, easy peasy. Put me in front of 300 people at a band gig or a stand-up, I'm fine. Put me in front of 12, that's rough.
I'm a little bit more outgoing than you, but I'm like that as well. Like, if I have a big group, I'm totally fine.
Brian's laughing at me.
You
Why
don't
you
make
laughing?
Eye contact.
No, I completely get that.
Oh, you get it. Okay.
I've done that at high schools before, and I thought, I can do this. And you're in front of 15 people, and you go, I don't know what to
it
say.
It was like last year, I had to do a reading at church because I was early and they asked me and I was like, ugh, I guess so. So I went up there. You guys, I thought my heart was going to come out of my chest.
Right.
And there was only like 12 people because it was like 5 o'clock mass and nobody was there. But I was almost passed out. I'm like, I just got to get through this.
And then you got to practice those biblical names too, which are not easy.
Oh, I go up and pre-read and then I ask the guy who asked me to read, like, is this how you pronounce this? Because I don't want to be up there mispronouncing a name.
One of my best friends, who I won't name because I love him, who's a brilliant plastic surgeon. When he was a younger man, was asked to do the reading at a big fancy wedding, and he got completely wasted the night before. And he had to do a reading with the name Yahweh in it. And he was so hungover and a little numb that he pronounced it Yahoo. And so he said it 3 or 4 different times, and he's up there completely dehydrated, trembling.
And he doesn't know
he's
saying
know.
Yahoo.
And he's like, and as Yahoo said to the Hebrews.
I would have died if I was in the congregation. Oh, my God.
They were.
That is hilarious.
And he didn't know why people were laughing. He thought he was just killing it.
Yeah, he's like, man, there's something in this old English. I'm just completely missing the humor here.
According to the book of Yahoo.
And then afterwards, you were like, that'd be Yahweh, the name of God. Kind of important.
Oh, I love God. That he was skimming it so hard that Yahweh looked like Yahoo.
Yeah, I thought it'd be like
once,
Yeehaw.
But multiple right. times.
Yeah. I love that one.
That is great.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back, guys, to 21 DGS. Breaking news up on the TV that the Department of Justice has recovered millions of cryptocurrency the Colonial Pipeline paid to the ransomware hackers. That's good. I just did a little rant about how moderate I am, but I'm only moderate when you average me out. I'm pretty extreme on some things, and here's one of them. If it were up to me, I would kill them. If it were up to me, these hackers, I think that they are committing acts of war. And I realize that there are rules that you can't just go out and kill people, but that's why.
Oh, rule schmooze.
That's
Dave.
Why. That's why I'm not king. But if I were, or if I were in the government and I had my Jason Bournes, I had my ninjas, I don't think because Biden's like, look, we're gonna cyber attack them back. Okay, I get it. That's what you can do legally. If it were me, I would kill them.
We are going to send them so many nasty comments on social media. Yeah, they're going to pray
gonna
that we stop.
Them. No, I'm being serious. If I could find these guys, I would send my ninjas in and I'd kill them. Because I don't think other ransom hackers are going to go, oh my God, they took the money back. But if you kill them and you let it be known that, well, here's how we roll. Because they can shut down the grid. They cost us billions of dollars with that Colonial Pipeline thing. We need to let them know, look, you don't do this to us.
Well, go ahead, Trish.
I was just curious how they, so if they got the money back, do they have any trace of, and I don't know the full story because my back's to the TV, but did they have any trace of where these guys are? I mean, how do you get the money back from people you don't know where they are?
Don't know.
Yeah, I'm not sure about that. I'll have to skim that article on the break and try to figure it out. I'm sure they're saying it on the TV, this lady in the blue blazer who's talking. Did you see that the DOJ has said that we're putting this up on the same priority as terrorism now, cyber attacks?
It should be. It absolutely should be.
I mean, there's no way it's going to stop. This is just the future.
Look,
so
I don't want human lives to be lost. But if terrorists, let's say, killed a dozen people, that would be gigantic news, and we'd all be saying, let's go get them. But when they shut down a pipeline and cost us billions of dollars, that's a pretty big deal, too.
And I think it happens a lot, too. And companies don't like to say it happened to them.
Sure.
They don't like to admit. So I think it happens way more than we actually see.
So it looks like early on, Colonial Pipeline notified the FBI. I'm sure they were threatened not to do that, but they did it anyway. And they followed instructions that helped investigators track the payment to a crypto wallet used by the hackers. So they were able to find the source. I don't know if like these guys are in custody or something, but they were able to find their stash and recover it.
Speaking of, did you see that Anonymous? Remember Anonymous?
Yeah.
I thought they'd gone away, but they haven't. Put out a video threatening Elon Musk because he keeps screwing around with cryptocurrency and people keep making and losing fortunes based on what Elon Musk's whim is that afternoon, if his egg salad was good or not. And they basically said, you're a bad man.
Yeah, they said, quote, another narcissistic rich dude who is desperate for attention.
And in this case, I agree with Anonymous.
I can't quite figure out Anonymous and what their site is. Like, I can't quite figure out what they're going after. It like sometimes seemed like they were on, and not to make this political, but the Republican side, and sometimes it seemed like they were on the Democrat side, and I can't quite figure out what their end game is.
I feel like they're like independent actors who are just trying to attack whatever they think they think is unfair,
what
which
they
is
see as justice.
No, I mean, I relate to the Elon thing. Like, look, he can say whatever he wants, but it did feel a little. Okay, so I got swept up in Dogecoin. I put a couple hundred bucks into Dogecoin.
This is before SNL?
This is before SNL, but leading up to Elon being on SNL, I'm feeling like Doge is going to explode because you're in this echo chamber online of other people who have bought it, and they're like, it's going up to a dollar when Elon hosts. Like, you just watch. So I'm watching the episode and he starts trashing Doge and he's joking, but he's saying like it's a hustle. It's not real. And I'm just watching my value in
your
this coin.
Money.
Yeah. Like go down and down. And look, it was my fault for like trusting it or getting swept up in the hype to begin with. But I thought about putting a couple thousand dollars into Doge because I was feeling so good about it. Again, it would have been nobody's fault but my own. But he kind of put himself in this position of like, well, I'm going to tweet about it and we're going to see the price spike. And now I'm going to go on SNL and I'm going to say on Twitter, like, this is my stimulus package to the people. I'm helping you guys out. making all of these promises that he's going to raise the profile and turn it into this real cryptocurrency. And instead, he tanked it.
And
it still hasn't recovered from where it was.
And he tanked Bitcoin.
Yeah. So maybe he does need to shut his mouth a little bit, because it almost felt like he was just like showing off. But then he was getting people in trouble at the same time.
It all goes back to Spider-Man. With great power comes great responsibility and the natural consequences of your action. And few people have as much power as Elon Musk and the ear of the world. And when you use it in a flippant way and it costs people money, then you're a jerk.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just stop it. We don't need you to make us fortunes. We don't need you to cost us our little fortunes. Just shut up. Go do what you're going to do.
The cryptocurrency, I don't understand it.
No one does.
And I was in here for who explained it? Andrew?
Probably, yeah.
Oh, in the other studio. Still don't understand it.
I mean, fully understand it either, but I totally admit to getting caught up in the hype.
Me too.
I mean, I really thought, well, Dave was telling me, like, you should put a bunch of money in, because you believed it too. You read all these articles about it.
I put $200 in like rage. I got up to 10 grand in about 3 weeks.
Not in Doge, but in
other stuff. And I really honestly thought, I'm going to quit radio because I'm clearly a genius.
You were that in.
And now I'm down to like 3 grand, which is better than 200,
still,
but it's like, it's not magic.
Yeah.
It is not magic.
It is gambling at the end of the day.
Welcome back, guys. 235 DGS. My show sheet, kill all the hackers, check.
I told Trish we look like the angel and the devil today because we're in white and black.
You really do. And one of you is on my left, one of you is on my right.
That's pretty accurate.
I like it. We're just talking about, Trish said on the break, did you see Bezos is going to space? And look, I get angry about everything. And it made me angry that the Drudge is all red capitals, like, oh my God, can you believe it? Yes, I can believe it. He's Jeff Bezos. What's he not going to go to space? That doesn't look great. If you're like, hey, everyone, I'm going to charge you $1 million to go to space. No, I'm not going to do it, but
I'm not stupid.
Yeah.
Going back to the Elon Musk combo, don't you think they thought he was going to be the first one to go?
Oh, yeah.
So then maybe that's what the shock's about.
Yeah, isn't he up in space? You bring up a very good point. Don't you trust SpaceX, Elon?
Yeah, he could have gone in one of these.
I'm sorry, but my first thought is, and I know you guys are the space experts, and I like only...
Thanks for acknowledging that.
Barely pay attention
Tony never
to
did.
It. Our official title.
I know you guys... Anytime I think of space, I think of you two. I mean, isn't he scared, like, what's going to happen? Like, I'm
Should
thinking...
Okay, I will say this. It gives me a lot more confidence in Blue Origin.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Because he's willing to go.
Yeah, I mean, would the richest man on the planet go if he had any real risk of dying?
Yeah.
I appreciate you calling me a space expert. I am so afraid of space. But this makes me feel a little bit better about it.
Unless he has that billionaire egomaniac thing where I'm a billionaire and nothing bad can happen to me because I'm so rich.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but to me, that just means he's going to pour in even more money to make sure that it's safe and secure for him. Yeah,
oh, sure. Yeah. No, I've read about people going to the moon that astronauts have said it sucks. Like, you're nauseous the whole time. Like, it is not fun. So by the time it's commercially viable to go to the moon, I'm sure they'll figure that out. But even just going into space is, I'm sure once you're there, it's amazing. But getting there is supposed to be pretty rough.
And it's July 20th. It's not that far away.
Yeah, 15 days after he resigns as CEO, he's going to space. This is actually a pretty cute quote. He says, ever since I was 5 years old, I've dreamed of traveling to space. On July 20th, I will take that journey with my brother. The greatest adventure with my best friend.
And there's a...
Jeff, who knew you had it in you?
They're bidding on spot two for charity, I think, and it's up to $2.8 million. Like, someone can bid to go with them.
Yeah.
Jeff Bezos and his brother and Dave.
I mean, yeah. I'm interested to see that, yeah.
I should go to space with my expertise.
You should.
Mm-hmm.
I just turn to them and go, like, this is supposed to suck. That's the extent of what I know.
Guys, we got a real space expert to come up with us.
Jeff, you're probably going to throw
up. He's like, I don't know if you knew this, but you cannot breathe up there.
I'm just going to
tell you. You got to keep your helmet on or things are going to go south.
It's pretty high. We're going pretty high.
I'm an expert.
Rach, I have a story about road rage in St. Louis.
Oh, yeah.
Let me start out with my own miniature rant. I went to see my mom this weekend That's it. And I came back over the McKinley Bridge, which I rarely do, but I know you did it for years.
I do it every time I go to Grafton.
Yeah. So anyone who's done this coming east across the McKinley Bridge, fine. First of all, ugly. But then you get to 11th Street, mm-hmm. and you have to take that for about 200 yards to get to 70.
The most pathetic yes. stretch
oh,
of road on the
my
planet.
My God.
Terrible.
Oh, my God. Look. If you fix anything, fix that yeah. 100 yards of street. First
the
of all,
potholes it, right
it's,
by
it's
the
like
gas
a,
station.
It's like a scene out of Vacation. Like, you think you can't be in the right place. This can't be how I get to a major highway. Mm-hmm. And then it's like Escape from New York. The potholes are
well,
crazy.
You're huge. Trying to avoid the potholes, so you kind of have to veer around. And then the people behind you are so hungry to get on 70 that they're like passing you
yes.
as you're avoiding
it's
the potholes.
Tashara, just fix 11th Street.
Yeah, you, we
well,
beg of you.
Obviously, you guys will remember this, but the old McKinley Bridge before they fixed it. So this would have been like 20 years ago because I was just 21. My sister started working on the Alton Bell when it first opened. And we would go over the old McKinley Bridge, which you would cross your fingers going over it because it was so rickety. Mm-hmm. Don't you remember that? It was
yeah.
like, there's a board loose somewhere and it's just going to fall
it's
out.
It's like the Screaming Eagle.
Yeah, right. It really was.
You put your hands
it
up.
Was. Exactly. The old rickety wood.
Wasn't there an outside like
yeah,
lane?
I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
It I was, don't remember that part.
Like you could go outside too.
I didn't like
you're
it at
You're just like
all.
Looking over the edge.
I know, like, please hold up while we get over this.
But what's the deal with the road rage?
Well, it was just a thread that I found on the St. Louis subreddit asking other Redditors, like, have you guys noticed that the roads are absolutely insane around here lately? And I mean, it is hundreds and hundreds of comments. And of course, it's all anecdotal evidence, but story after story of terrible road rage in the area. I've experienced it myself. I haven't been the one with the road rage, but I've seen like some pretty scary things. Mm-hmm. Trish just rolled her eyes like, yeah, whatever. You're flipping everybody
see her
off.
Yelling out the window.
I'm brandishing weapons. No, I'm just, but like you see some scary stuff. Nobody knows how to drive anymore.
Yeah.
We talk about it downtown, you know. People will ride my bumper, and I'm going like 40. The speed limit's 30 downtown. I'll feel the pressure to go faster because everyone's trying to zoom around me, and then it's still not fast enough, and it just feels like everyone's so angry all the time. I wondered if any listeners had any, you know, recent stories. It just feels like since the pandemic started especially.
No rules.
Everybody's angry. Everybody's just ready to flip at any time.
Yeah.
It's scary.
Yeah, I mean, I go 70 a lot now, and it's just a daily. It's not a now and then. It's a daily. You have to be head on a swivel. And I was talking to my mom as I'm coming into downtown, where you know, into our parking garage, we're at Tucker and Olive, and I turn from Tucker onto Olive, and there are three homeless people. The cluck like a chicken guy was there, and he was having some sort of a kerfuffle with aggressive, I got a cardboard sign, give me money guy. And they're in the middle of Olive, couldn't care less about the cars.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I'm like, aw, here's a $20 bill. Other times I'm like, look, mofos, you need to get the hell out of the street. And that's how I was today.
I got stopped twice on my way in here, just down Tucker. I did give some change, and the guy wanted a cigarette, so I gave him one. And then the guy behind me handed him a bottle of water, but then there was a woman just walking down the middle of the street, yelling loudly at no one, and just right in the middle of traffic.
Mm-hmm. It's not a great... I was talking to Chris over at Chris's Pancakes again today, and he was like, look, I love this city. It's the greatest city, and I have businesses downtown, but it's got to be safe. People got to feel okay coming from the suburbs. I agree, man. I've been a downtowner. I've either lived or worked downtown since 1990, so I feel like I'm a downtowner. I get to say that. And look, it's solvable. I'm not the guy to solve it above my pay grade, but there's got to be some answers.
But bringing it back to road rage specifically, I know it's beyond downtown St. Louis that people are acting like this. Why do you think that is? Why do you think people are so much more on edge than it feels like they ever have been?
I think it's COVID.
Yeah.
I know, and look, complete hypocrite here. I don't do it in a dangerous way, but I use stoplights downtown like stop signs. If there's no one coming, I'm going. And it's my way
night,
of...
Night, day,
yes,
doesn't matter?
Doesn't matter. That's my way of fighting back feebly against the man. just like, I'm tired of everyone breaking these rules, and it's COVID, and you watch me. So watch me.
I'm so tired of everyone breaking the rules, so allow me to break the rules.
Yes, I admitted. Hypocrite.
Well, yeah, and people, if people have been working from, I've essentially been working from home for the past year. So you start getting, you're out driving again. There's traffic again where there hasn't been any.
So,
year.
Like, your hackles
it's
are
aggravating.
Up.
Yes. Yeah.
Everyone's hackles are
so up. It's been empty highways.
I thought this was a great comment. Someone said, I think most of the nation had mild trauma or clinical anxiety from the pandemic. We're seeing more and more hostile people. It's manifesting in anger, but it's making everyone erratic. They said, in my job, I've encountered people who are absolutely backing up like crabs with their claws up in situations where pre-pandemic, it would have been pretty bland.
That's scary. I don't want crab people. I don't want people running
sideways.
But
I get what they're saying. I think we're under a level of stress.
Hell yeah.
That we just don't even acknowledge how traumatic 2020 was.
You should have seen
Dave Klein
screaming at Fred Bottomer in the kitchen about pudding. I thought I was going to
be
in
trouble.
Well,
that's been happening for years.
Well, yeah. The guy never gets the order right. I've been telling Bottomer for years,
order?
I don't like butterscotch. Damn it.
Where do you order pudding?
That's tapioca, Bottomer. Yeah.
I think, you know,
and then Bottomer said tapioca my ass.
To Rachel's point, when, you know, a year ago when this all started, when there's, you see 10 people on the highway there where there used to be 1,000, everyone's going 90 plus and just zooming in and out. And I'm thinking, what the hell highway am I on?
And you wonder if we're going to get over this.
Yeah.
Or this is the new normal.
Yeah.
We're all just jacked now.
It's scary. I mean, I think I thought I was going fast when I'm pushing 70 and there's people going by me going, you know, 90 plus, and it's just, it's a different world.
Oh my God, 90?
Oh,
yeah.
Easy.
Just
easy.
Kidding.
Oh, sorry.
I didn't get the humor.
Can I just read this one comment really quick from the thread? The other day, I saw some dude aggressively pass a group of geese crossing the road. I love that. Like, get out of the way!
Stupid geese! So, Trish, you were a giant hypocrite and got instant karma yesterday?
Oh, yeah. So, it was Saturday. We were at the pool, and I made a big rookie move because usually my first time out in the sun, I will put sunscreen on.
Mm-hmm.
But I had gotten a spray tan like a week before and forgot, so I thought I was darker than I was.
So, she's like, dang, I'm looking tan. I haven't even laid out this year, but I look good.
We're at the pool, and I was making so much fun of my brother-in-law because he was slathering on like 50 sunscreen, like to where his whole arm was white.
Yeah.
And he's half Italian. I'm like, what are you doing? Why are you doing that? You look so stupid. You're such a nerd. He was laying on a raft in the pool with those Adidas flip-flops on. And I was getting so bothered by that because I hate tan lines. And I'm like, why do you have your sandals on? It's like, because I don't want my feet to get burned. So we were out there for like 4 hours. I got home. My back is like bright red forgot that I had been razzing him so hard. So in a text message with him and my sister, I'm like, oh, my God, my back is so bright. And he wrote back, you should have put lotion on, .. like me. I'm like, ugh. So I went off on him all day, like really hard, too. Mm. I was calling him lots of names.
Yeah, I'm about as dark as a non-Lebanese-Italian gets, and it's all spray. So I have to be really careful because for real, I'm as white as I've ever been. And I used to be in the sun constantly, which is why I get spray tans now, 100%. I love laying out. I love going to the pool. But I spent my whole youth working on farms and laying out and my whole adulthood going to Mexico and Jamaica and just being like, no, 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 I'm laying out. It was so important to me.
With oil.
Probably
so. Yeah, Crisco.
And I've not been to the dermatologist. I need to go.
I know.
I'm afraid to, but yeah, now I just get spray tans. And Friday, we're kind of going to be off because the Cardinals game is so late. And I'm going to go to the pool, but I need to be like your brother-in-law.
Yes, and yeah. I should have too, actually. We used to literally use Crisco when we were younger. I'm not kidding. Like, you would bring the Crisco out and put it on as you would suntan
lotion. Oh, when I was a teenager, that's how the very first time I was ever the slightest bit popular or had a girl look at me, is I was super tan. And I would use sun in my hair. Remember that stuff? And I used it because I have blonde hair naturally, pretty light. And I used so much sun in that it turned green.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Well, before sun in, we would use actual lemons.
Lemons,
or
hydrogen. Having such dark hair?
I would try because I would want to get like highlights.
Yeah, yeah.
Or we would use hydrogen peroxide before they actually came out with the product.
Man.
We're lucky to be alive.
I know.
Well, estheticians and dermatologists have had a really great PR campaign the past 5 or 10 years to get people to stop tanning. Mm-hmm. Because even when I was in high school, it was still really, really popular. Mm-hmm. And I was I went to the tanning booth like up to 2016, 2017. I knew it was bad for me, but I still did it. But then you see all of these skincare experts saying, if you do not protect your skin from the sun, all other, you know, face creams, eye creams, whatever, they mean nothing. So now I am like really diligent about it. I use a moisturizer with 30 SPF all over my face and my neck. And then if I know I'll be out in the sun, I used to just lit my shoulders, you know, get some sun, get some tape. I will like spray myself with sunscreen. They even have me worried about my hands on the steering wheel.
You have to put sunscreen on your hands.
They said that will like really age your hands.
Yes.
Like, or
you guys just blew me away.
Why?
I've never thought of that.
Oh, I'm
because
starting to get wrinkles.
Because it roasts in the sun.
No, it makes total sense.
Do you know that you can get Botox in your hands now?
Oh, really?
Yeah, I might actually try it. I swear Dr. Maupin had
it.
I think I'm going to try it. Yeah, because I want to see if it really helps, and I'm noticing like the wrinkles. I even had a skin doctor years ago point out where I was going to have the most sun damage, and I still didn't believe it, and I'm getting it on my chest.
Wow.
Like, I don't know
Show
what
us.
It is, but...
Well, you can see a little brown spot.
Dave Klein's head popped up so
my
quickly.
Upper chest.
That was nuts.
I didn't think she was going to do
he
it.
He was fully in his phone, not paying attention. He's like, hold on, what?
My back's no.
He was texting Bottomer about pudding. Give me the right pudding, and you're never going to believe what Trish is going to do. She just showed her chest.
Okay, leave her alone.
Botox in your hands, huh?
Yep, I'm going to try it. I want to see how much of a difference it makes.
Yeah, why not? If I could get my whole body, if I could take a Botox bath where I just came out and I was like plastic and I creaked when I walk.
Well, the first place that you notice signs of aging is your hands, your neck, and your chest. I mean, and your face, obviously.
Yeah.
But. Yeah. So I'm going to try it all. I'm getting it all. Have you ever had your lip a little in your lips? Even if you only get a little... Right after you get it done, it looks like 10 times worse, and then it calms down. But I started crying the first time I did because I was like, oh, my God.
What have I done?
Yeah.
I can't
but then it
my
calms
face.
Down.
No, that's too painful for me.
It's is painful.
I've never had
it,
but just the thought of it.
It's pretty painful, but it doesn't last a long time, so you can get through it.
Well, you also have a mustache. I mean, you don't really need to plump
well,
your
that's
lips.
That's true.
Yeah. No, that's one. No, not worrying about that. Look at me. I'm manly.
He's like, don't worry, guys. I'm
don't
probably
worry.
Not going to get that in
I'm
my lips.
I'm not going to get my lips plumped, okay?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.